As we turn to Romans chapter 9, in the book of Romans chapter 9, I basically have divided this chapter up into five sections, and this is our fourth week in Romans chapter 9. I think I'm just going to leave the last two sections together and finish it this evening, give you kind of an overview of it. And we closed in verse 24 last week. He said in verse 24, he said, even us, whom he hath called, not the Jews only, but also the Gentiles, as he saith also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. He says also Christ concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. He said, verse 28, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now, Father, thank you this evening for this time that you've given us together. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for this book, and we thank you for this chapter. Lord, as we've gleaned from this, we pray tonight your anointing and blessing upon the reading of thy word. And again, we ask, Lord, that you would meet with us, be with us. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, let me review with you just for a few moments, okay? And again, I'm going to include, I'm going to finish the chapter this evening and bring all of this together as a climax. But as we come into this chapter, and I've said this nearly every time, this is the fourth Sunday evening that we've been looking in Romans 9. And chapter 9 is dealing with the sovereignty of God. Chapter 10 is dealing with the righteousness of God. Chapter 11 is dealing with the faithfulness of God. As we come through these three chapters, we're going to continue the thoughts as we move through concerning Israel and the Gentiles. Now, verses 1 through 5, this was our first section. It explains the promises of Israel. Verses 6 through 13 explains God's word has not failed. Then in verses 19 through 24, it explains that God is not unrighteous or unfair. That's what we looked at last Sunday night, dealing with the subject of Pharaoh. He said in verse 25 through 29, now, this is the section we're beginning here this evening. Verse 25 through 29, the rejection of the Jews and the acceptance of the Gentiles, and this was foretold in the Old Testament. Then in verses 30 through 33, we see the reason, the true reason for the rejection of the Jewish people, and it was because of unbelief. Now, I believe the question is answered as to why Israel was set aside and a calling out of the Gentiles. I believe that's what Paul is doing in this chapter. All right, notice with me as we come back here. Verse 24, as we close last week, he said, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. This is where we've been heading through this chapter, showing that God began saving the Gentiles by his grace. Now again, verse 25 through 29. The rejection of the Jews and acceptance of the Gentiles, which is according to Scripture. He's going to give us two books that he quotes from the Old Testament. I'm not going to turn to them this evening. I'm going to give you the references. It's in Hosea and Isaiah. These are used as an example to show that the whole of Israel was never promised to be saved. It was a remnant that was promised. Now, in verse 25, he says, as he saith also in O.C., that's Hosea. And this is, I believe, the Greek spelling for Hosea. And he says here in this passage, he says, and as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. Now again, as we look through these passages, and in verse 26, another quote from Hosea, what he's doing here, he's referring to the fact that Israel as a whole did not receive the promises of God. And God is including the Gentiles. Now, you can rejoice in this because you have been grafted in to that olive tree. And you've been grafted into the promises of God Almighty as Gentiles living here in America. And he says here in verse 25 now, the reference, I'm going to give it to you. Again, I debated about whether to go back and go through that, but I'm just going to give the reference. It's in Hosea 2 and in verse 23. Now, there's another quote in verse 26, and which is from Hosea, and that's going to be from Hosea 1 and in verse 10. He says in verse 26, he says, "And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." I want you to keep in mind that Gentiles, as you and I are, we've seen weeks ago that according to Ephesians 2, that we were without hope and without God. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we've been included in the household of faith. So that's what these verses are showing. Now, you see, the question would be asked, well, if God has set aside Israel as a nation, as a whole, and He did, then what about the promises of God? Well, the promises were to a remnant in Israel, like Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and Stephen, and also to the Gentiles. So God's promises has not failed. Because He set aside that nation in the first century, and because He allowed Titus and the Roman army to destroy the city of Jerusalem and the temple and kill over 1 million of the Jews. In other words, we find that God's Word has not failed. Because God, we're going to see here as we look at these verses, He's going to use Isaiah also, and the word remnant shows up here, and God did save a remnant among the nation of Israel. Now notice He's going to carry us to Isaiah. Notice with me in verse 27. In verse 27, and again, I think that you can go this week if you feel led of the Holy Ghost to go and read these passages. I do not think it's needed here this evening. But He says in verse 27, now just keep in mind, verse 25, 26, Hosea 1, Hosea 2 is showing us that there's going to be some Gentiles saved, okay? Now He said in verse 27, Isaiah, that's Isaiah, also, here's another testimony from the Old Testament, also crieth concerning Israel. He said in verse 27, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, He said, a remnant shall be saved. Now think about what He's saying. He's showing us that you and I are now included. And He said here in this passage, and by the way, this carries you back to Isaiah chapter 10 and in verse 22. Paul quotes from the book of Isaiah to prove that it is only by the grace of God that even a remnant was saved. Okay? No one deserves salvation, but he says here that a remnant. You say, what is a remnant? A remnant is not the whole. The whole was rejected. A remnant implies that a multitude or multitudes would be cast off. If we talk about the remnant, a remnant is left after a battle. What are we saying? A small number. Or if we say there is a remnant left after a great calamity, we're simply saying there is a small number. Now he says Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, that is Israel as a whole, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea. Now in Genesis 22:17, God promised Abraham, He said, your children are going to be as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the sea. And we find as we read through the Scriptures, that did come to pass. There were multitudes among them. Genesis 32 and verse 12 and Judges, the phrase is used in Judges 7 and verse 12 also. And so they became as a great multitude as the sand of the sea. And he's saying in verse 27, Isaiah also cried concerning Israel. He said, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, notice only, I'm putting that word in there for myself, only a remnant. He says, a remnant shall be saved. And even though there was multitudes, a great nation at one time, he said, there's only going to be a small number that will be saved. He says here in verse 28, and again, the context I said that this is a quote from Isaiah 10, verse 22. The context of Isaiah 10 and verse 22, or the whole context, chapter 10, shows that God is using the Assyrians to make Israel as a nation to dishonor. In other words, they went into captivity. Assyria humbled the nation of Israel, carried them into captivity. And from that desolation, that captivity, only a remnant of Israel would escape, even there in the Old Testament. So, what are we saying? God's promises do not apply to the masses in Israel, as we said in verse 6 of this chapter. We find that they're fulfilled in the remnant. Amen? They do not apply to the masses. Why? He answers this in this chapter and in chapter 10 and in chapter 11 because of unbelief. You'll notice with me as we come to verse 28, another reference to Isaiah. He said in verse 28, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." In other words, this is quoted from Isaiah 28 in verse 22. The main thought here is that the truth with which God accomplishes His Word. And notice the word finish here has to do with accomplishing something. And He's talking about, again, judgment that would come upon the nation of Israel. But He's talking about the fact that, again, God will save a remnant according to His grace. Now, the next passage, verse 29. He said, "And Isaiah saith before, except the Lord of Sabaoth," I'm not pronouncing that correctly. I've heard three different ways to pronounce that. Sabaoth, something like that, my close sister. But anyway, this basically what this means is the Lord of hosts. That's what this phrase here means. And it's used in Isaiah 1:9, Isaiah 6 in verse 13, and a number of other places. It's used in 1 Samuel 1 in verse 11 and James chapter 5 in verse 4. And what it is, it's talking about a host. It's an Old Testament expression. The Lord is commander of an army. So he says here that the Lord had left us a seed. Except the Lord had left us a seed, he's saying we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. Now again, we're talking about a remnant. God saved a remnant. Now what did God do with Sodom and Gomorrah? This verse is showing that only a remnant will be saved. What did God do with Sodom and Gomorrah? He destroyed the entire cities. He didn't do that with Israel. Even though they went into captivity, the Syrians, the Babylonians, the Romans, and through each one of those captivities and those destruction, we find that there was a remnant that was saved. And that's the point in this verse, is that if they were not totally destroyed, and even in the first century, there was a remnant. Peter, James, and John, as I mentioned a moment ago, and hundreds of others had received the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 30, 31, 32, and 33, this is a summary or a conclusion which shows the reason Israel was rejected. We've come through this entire chapter to come to the conclusion, to come to this summary. Why was Israel as a whole, not the remnant, but why was Israel as a whole rejected? One word, unbelief. One word, and that's what the apostle is trying to get across to us. Salvation of the Gentiles, and only a few of the Jews are saved. Now notice verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles has followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. So we see here that the Gentiles were not pursuing this righteousness. And now the Gentiles are included in the promises of God. These Gentiles did not attain this righteousness. They did not gain anything by their merits or whatever. They weren't even seeking after God. And still yet he's saying here that they're included now in the promises of God. Acts chapter 15, when Peter and James and John and Paul, they met in the church council there, began talking about the Gentiles and their salvation. Gentile churches are being established. And they agreed that God is now offering salvation to the Gentiles. Peter had went to Cornelius. The door of faith is open now to the Gentiles. So he said in verse 30, he said, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith." Now notice verse 31, But Israel, which followed after the law. The Gentiles followed not after the law. But Israel, he said, followed after the law. Verse 31. He said, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not obtained to the law of righteousness." They had not attained. Paul testified to that in Philippians 3 and verse 6. And there's many other passages. So the Jews never reached the place of righteousness either, or the place of holiness. They never reached the place and accomplished what the law had demanded. But they did the opposite. They broke God's commandments. The very day that Moses was given just the Ten Commandments, they were breaking these commandments. So the Gentiles, which never followed after this, and the Jews, which were following after it, none of them really attained it. And now, all are saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 31. "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness." Verse 32. "Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now we could break down into about two good messages here in these two verses. There's a tremendous amount of truth. And by the way, the Lord of hosts, pronounced this word up here in verse 29, we have a message on that. We preached just about 2 years ago on that subject throughout the entire Bible, and also on Christ being the foundation stone, the chief cornerstone. And so he says here, let's jump down to chapter 10 just for a moment. Notice with me in chapter 10. He said in verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Sounds like the way we started in chapter 9. He had a burden for his people. And he knew that they needed to be saved. Even though they were in the promises of God, they did not obtain salvation. He said in verse 2, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Here's what they did. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." So he's showing us in the latter part of chapter 9, the beginning of chapter 10, why that Israel as a nation, not the remnant, but Israel as a nation, was set aside. Why did they not attain the promises of God? Because, one word again, unbelief. That's the same thing that will keep people out of the kingdom of God today. One word, unbelief. You see, this is what's wrong with some people in our community, in our families, in our neighborhoods, our friends. There's one word, one thing, and it's basically unbelief. Now, verse 32 again, notice here. He said in verse 32, he says, "Wherefore?" Now, that is, why did they fall? Here again. He said, verse 32, because... He said, "Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written." Now, many times the Bible mentions this stone. It is mentioned in Psalms 118 in verse 22. It is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 8 in verse 14. It is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 28 in verse 16. It is mentioned in Matthew 21 in verse 42. It's mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 6, 7, and 8. So he says here, he says, for they stumble at that stumbling stone. Verse 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Those who believe shall not be confounded. They shall not be ashamed. As we read here in chapter 10, he says in verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's that word again, they shall not be confounded. He said, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we see here this stumbling stone. Now, Christ said, there's a testimony of Peter that he was the rock. He was the Son of God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, that is that testimony, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we find that we're up on the solid rock. But hold on here and turn with me to 1 Peter. I want you to notice something. Again, those passages I just gave you a few moments ago, they'll describe unto you the truths about this stumbling stone. But notice in 1 Peter chapter 2. Take a note tonight, 1 Corinthians 1. I'm not asking you to turn there. But I want you to listen to verse 22. It said, for the Jews require a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and of the wisdom of God. Notice in 1 Peter, he says here in verse 1, well, let me see here, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ, by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Now think about just the difference in the two groups of people in the world. He becomes a stumbling block to one. He becomes precious to the other. He said unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But in them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Notice a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, and of them which stumble at the word, he said, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You notice how they stumbled? They stumbled at the word. At the word. See, they stumbled at the words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. When he declared who that he was, why that he came, they stumbled at the words of Peter, James, and John, and the Apostle Paul. They still to this day stumble at our words as we speak unto them the truths about Jesus Christ. But he said in verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. Now see, that's what we're looking at in Romans 9. When he quoted Hosea chapter 1 and chapter 2, he's talking about somebody becoming a part of God's family who in the past were not a part of that family. He says in verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, and which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lust, which war against the soul. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2 and notice here. Now, again, there's many references that we could look at, and I'm going to probably close here in just a few moments. But notice in Ephesians chapter 2, if you can get in your mind the theme of Romans chapter 9, and understand, not that we'll understand every little word and everything there, but the general thought of that chapter, you will not be a hyper-Calvinist. Okay? You will not be walking around trying to convince somebody they are one of the elect before they ever get saved. Okay? You'll not get hung up on that. You'll not be living like the devil either, saying, I'm one of the elect. Okay? Now, notice in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read just a few verses from this chapter, verse 11, let's begin here. He said, wherefore remember that you being in time past, now that's what we're dealing with in Romans, Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of flesh made by hands, that at that time, that is before Calvary, that at that time, notice you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He's our peace in verse 14. He's having abolished in verse 15, in His flesh, the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances. God has made one new man. Verse 16, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. Verse 17, He came and preached a peace to you which are far off, that is the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, that is the Jews. He said in verse 18, for through Him we both, Jew and Gentile, He said, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. I read all of that to read this verse here, verse 20. And are built upon, notice the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. See? And this is the truth that we're reading about in Romans chapter 9. I'm going to read the last two verses. We're going to close. This is a beautiful truth. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. As we get into chapter 10, we'll develop this a little bit more. As we get into chapter 11, and then we'll see it a little bit farther. But in verse 32 and verse 33, we come to the conclusion, the climax of this chapter, showing that Israel as a whole did not receive the promises of God because of unbelief. A remnant did receive the promises, and Gentiles who believed did receive the promises. So God's word has not taken, is of none effect. He said in verse 32, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. I want to give you one of the passages. You don't have to turn to it. Matthew chapter 21. I gave this to you a moment ago, but there's a parable that's mentioned here. And this parable is dealing with the fact that Israel as a nation rejected the prophets, and they rejected the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the stone which the builders rejected mentioned in Matthew 21, verse 42. And the Bible says here, therefore say I unto you, verse 43, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now listen to this. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. And he did speak of them. Now again, we're talking about anyone could be saved among this nation, just like today. Anyone in this community can be saved, but they can't get in unless there's repentance and faith. It has to be. Well, we're going to stop right there.